You're listening to the Slavic Literature Pod, your shelf help guide to all things Slavic.
I'm Cameron Lalata.
And I'm Mike Gerasimovich.
And today we're covering part two, chapter 21 of Vasily Grossman's Life and Fate, and we return back to Commissar Pivovarov. Who was supposed to go to House 6/1 in Krimov's place, but instead he has a much more important task, which is to say that our good friend Commander Bieroskin has been injured. Well, not our good friend Bieroskin is under the weather, not helped by the fact that a German offensive is clearly coming. He is under a lot of stress from everyone needing to know what he's doing at all points of the day. And he's just kind of lying down, unconscious. He's got a letter from his wife, who he does indeed like quite a bit, unlike Victor, for example, is not even able to read that, which is very concerning to everyone else. And then Pivovarov does something which no doctor would dare to do. And that's he brings our good friend Bieroskin back with, as Huey Lewis would have termed it, the power of love. Is there anywhere that you'd like to begin?
Yeah, honestly, I had kind of wondered this when I was reading the chapter, which was just that I feel like we haven't really seen anyone just be sick. And so there's something kind of strange about seeing a very, I don't know what you call it, just a very normal, everyday aspect of life in what is the worst possible time that you could possibly imagine. Getting sick, which is, as the Germans feel like they're just practically knocking on your door every second of the day. And I could not imagine the worst possible time to be sick. I don't know about you. For me, I get very peeved when I get sick. I hate being sick. And so I couldn't imagine trying to command troops, unless it's in like Crusader Kings 3. But other than that, I couldn't imagine trying to command like field troops as I was sick. I don't know. This is kind of a minute small point, but to me, it really kind of stuck out. It would be so bothersome is all. In the grand scheme of things, it seems like you shouldn't be bothered by it because you have better things to be worried about than your own health, like Nazis. But it just, I don't know. It just sort of sets a different tone for this chapter.
Right. And we had one of our listeners, Disco Barbello, I think had a related point to yours today in Discord, talking about the humanity of this chapter. And they said, I really like the humanity of this chapter. The fact that Bieroskin comes back to life after hearing the letter from his wife is touching. And there is a tenderness in the way the commissar cares for him too. The line, he's got a splendid face. I'm sure he never wrote denunciations. Stuck out to me, too. A funny line to come from a commissar. To me, it suggests that even the people who are ostensibly in control of the war, the generals, are not really in control at all, are vulnerable like everyone else. Let's go ahead and ring the War and Peace bell. That one's not a direct invocation of War and Peace, but I think it's close enough.
Isn't it all?
And then Disco Barbello goes on to say, and just as historical anecdote, it's interesting to see how Stalingrad is a completely modern battle, but there's also something pre-modern in the way generals are directly participating in the fighting. It just occurred to me, too, that there is something paradisical about the descriptions in the letter, and Bieroskin is in a quasi-death state. Maybe for a soldier, heaven is just home. I mean, that's not a War and Peace ding-ding-ding, but I'm going to call it a Metal Gear Solid ding-ding-ding for Outer Haven. But yeah, no, I thought that, I mean, all 3 points I thought I quite liked.
I liked them all. I don't know that this one to me, he has got a splendid face. I'm sure he never wrote denunciations. I don't even know what to make of that line, quite frankly. I think I set that one aside in my write-up today because I was like, I don't even have time to touch that right now. It was, first of all, when I was reading, I thought that's really funny. That's just because that's my sense of humor. But that's sort of, I don't know, that's almost a sense of guilt that's permeating this chapter at the same time. It was a very, this one just struck me as a profoundly strange chapter compared to the rest of them in the tone. And I think that our our fellow Discord user was completely right in the sense of that tenderness that's in the chapter as well, which is weird for the situation. I mean, very weird. And in the next few chapters, we'll get a few more examples of tenderness in a situation where it maybe shouldn't be there, or where you maybe wouldn't expect it to be there. And I guess you can say that the confines of war and the difficulties of war bring that out, but it is still strange.
Yeah, well, I do think it's something that's characteristic to a lot of the chapters that Chuikov is in, and he's very tangentially in this chapter, just phoning it at the very end. But I think as we go on, I'll develop this point more. But yeah, it is characteristic, and I do think there's something in the way we see a lot of this. I don't know if surprising is the right word, but surprising amount of humanity between a lot of the officers there, and a lot of the officers there who are, regardless of whether or not they're party members. The party is not their primary concern.
Yeah.
But we will be seeing more of that.
Yeah, it kind of makes me think of like the difference between the good commanders that the troops respect, and then somebody like Krimov when he's coming in and nobody respects him whatsoever.
Yeah. tough break.
Tough break for old Creamy.
Well, I'm gonna end the episode there. I don't think we can top that.
No.
All right, well, in that case, you'll hear from us again in old Creamy soon.
Good night.